Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are here live on LA Talk Radio. If you don't have the app, you should probably download it. That way you can listen to us on the go. And Dr. Allen, we are live on the air. What is going on?
I am ready to serve.
All right. Well, we are ready to rock and roll because we've got callers ready. Remember, callers, if you call in, answer your phone.
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I'm live?
Yes, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hello, I'm here.
Yes, my name is Isabel, and I'm asking Dr. Allen, please. I've been dating a guy for, met him about a month ago.
Are you chasing him or is he chasing you?
He came
you
up.
You said you were dating him.
Well, he's chasing me.
Good. Do you want him to? Do you want to be cherished?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, got that sorted out. What's your question?
The question is, I wonder if I should keep the guy around because he is vacillating between being kind and loving, and I'm scared that he might have a very volatile temper.
Have you seen the volatile temper?
I think so. It goes on like a switch. He came into my life in a parking lot outside the hardware store. I was buying WD-40, and I was sort of looking for a handyman, and he's actually a contractor. He said, well, I'd like to help you. I won't charge you. I thought, okay.
That's him flirting with you mechanically. Very good.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, he did follow through.
I want to ask a question first.
Yes.
Did you have any family member, grandpa, grandma, dad, mom, that were emotional and scary?
Oh, yes. I was raised by two violent alcoholics.
Well, dear, I hate to mention it, but I think anybody who meets you has got to deal with your fear of violent people.
Well, maybe, but when I was in the car the other day, he goes off very quickly. He started yelling, and we were just on really basically the first date outside of him fixing up the house.
And was he yelling at you?
Well, yes, he was driving his sports car and he started going too fast and I had to stop him and say, I'm not feeling comfortable.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. And did he slow down?
Yes, he did.
Then that tells me that whoever scared you when you were a child was there in the car with you.
Well, that was one of the many places.
I understand, but do you understand that when you said, I am not comfortable, he cherished you?
Yeah, he did.
Then will you give him another date?
I don't know. Maybe because he... I don't know whether he came on like gangbusters, and I'm worried that he'll be gone after 6 weeks.
I understand that you're afraid and negative. Do you date wussy men? What country are you in?
I'm here in California.
Oh, you are? Good. I mean, it's good wherever you're at. But do you set up negative tests for men so that you can rule them out? Are you a norepinephrine addict?
No.
Do you know what a norepinephrine addict is?
I don't rule men out that quickly. He's just...
Then I will tell you, our nervous system has three juices that carry the messages. One is dopamine, and that's fun. That's sex. That's fun. Then there's serotonin. That's the one that tranquilizes you when you're scared. And then there's one called norepinephrine. And that's one that if you were raised in too painful an environment when you were a little tiny kid, you have become believing that pain is normal and pleasure is scary because somebody can take it away from you. They can scare
you. Know what, Dr. Allen, the date wasn't very pleasurable. When he first came around, I was very relaxed and happy to have him around. But I don't think I'm safe. He just goes off like a switch. I think this man could be dangerous. I do.
Okay. All right. Do you date many men like this?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay.
He's coming on very, very fast. He's also getting jealous inappropriately. He was in the hospital for a week ago with an inflamed pancreas.
How long have you been dating him?
Barely. Like, that was the first date the other day. Basically, he's been around a month. He's done work on the house. And the minute he was finished with the thing, he was coming on so strong to me. Be my girlfriend, be my girlfriend. I said, I don't even know your last name.
I got it. All right. So what you're saying is he's too manly for you.
Oh.
Do you like wussy men?
No, I don't like wussy men, but I don't want someone in my house that I barely know demanding hugs.
I absolutely fully accept and understand. So do you have how many dates have you had with him?
Barely one because of the COVID thing. We've had to end up in the park.
I see. So you've only been together one time.
No, he's been at my house because he's a contractor and I just purchased a house a couple of months ago. He's been by the house and fixed things, but that could hardly be called a date.
Okay, so let's call those dates. So for the last month, you've been near him.
That's true.
Okay, and you're ready. Would you say that you could consider those were three dates?
No.
How many days did he come around?
Oh, two, three, like four or five times, but he wants to see me all the time.
I understand that.
And he doesn't want anyone else around me.
If you've listened to me, you know I say, give him at least three exchanges of, meeting him. You've already done that. So have you accepted another date from him?
Not presently, because he's just come out of the hospital and he lives in Los Angeles, an hour and a half away. And he's a single daddy to a four-year-old kid. That's another thing.
Well, that's not the same as violence.
No, that's absolutely true. But I just think I see a path.
Do you want to turn him off dating? Do you want to say something to him if he asks you to go out? Has he asked you to go on a date?
Oh, yes. You know, he's very, very keen. The day I met him was in the morning, and the following morning at 8 o'clock, he was already texting me.
I've got news for you. Some women would die for a man like that. He sounds very, very manly. But if he asks you to go out, will you please tell him, thank you for asking me, but I don't have the right romantic feelings in our relationship, and I don't want to lead you on or take advantage of you. So I will not be dating you anymore. Can you do that?
Well, actually, I want to date him. I just...
Wait a minute. You just told me you're afraid he's violent, and I'm giving you a way to say no respectfully.
I haven't been talking on the phone much with him and had really, really one-on-one conversations because he's had a lot of drama in his life.
I understand that. But you're telling me I'm afraid he's violent, and I just taught you how to say goodbye to him, and you're saying, no, 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 I want to date him. I have no problem with that.
I do. I want him to listen to be respectful of my boundaries, and I'm not going to go at his pace.
I'm telling you, if he asks you to go on a date, say thank you for asking, but I don't have the right feelings to date you, and I don't want to lead you on or take advantage of you. So I'm not going to date you anymore.
I think this is much more complicated than a radio talk show could deal with. I don't want to get rid of him as a boyfriend. I just don't want him trying to...
Did you want to teach him... By being his mother?
No
real man wants to be mothered by a lady he's interested in. Please,
I'm not.
Either accept him the way he is or reject him the way he is, but don't mothering and tolerate him, please. That irritates normal men.
Well, he doesn't have a very good track record at the age of 55. He hasn't stayed very long in a relationship.
Darling, I hear you telling me you don't want him. And then I say, okay, like a lady, say no to him respectfully. And you're fighting with me now about what I'm teaching you.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we're getting across here. I do want him, but...
Do you want to wait until he grabs your arm or pushes you or does something violent? I haven't heard you say he did anything.
Well, he did put it... When he asked for a hug, I did give him a hug, obviously, and I just felt like he was going to... He's so strong... when I wanted to break the hug, he was still hanging on.
I want you to understand you're saying I don't want him and I want him in the same sentence.
And he's doing the same thing for me. He's saying, I love you, go away. That's exactly why I'm not surrendering. Because every time I warm up to him, he'll do something that is a big turnoff, like storm out of the house.
I want you to know that sounds like a disappointed gentleman courting a lady who doesn't know whether she wants to be with him or not. Do yourself a favor and either investigate him or reject him. when you have to call the police, a medical doctor, or a lawyer, I'll agree he's violent. What I hear is you and he argue a lot because you're both masculine and you both want control. And I wanted to know if you wanted to be a woman or a man with him.
I didn't argue with him. I told you I wanted to be cherished, but he flips between the two.
Then would you please accept him the way he is or reject him the way he is, but stop tolerating him? That's what your violent family taught you. Little kids can't run away from home when they're little, so they often have to put up with violent parents and grandparents. And you sound like, I love him and I don't love him. I love him and I don't love him. So if you date him, please, if you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer, reject him. If you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, get accustomed to him being a better man than you are.
Well,
got it?
In a nutshell, there's a whole lot.
Good luck.
Thank you, caller. All righty. Dr. Allen, we've got some more calls waiting, so let's move forward. Good luck to our last caller, and hope she figures it out. Here we go. All righty. Ronan at our switchboard, always amazing. And remember, if you've been in our queue, we will be calling you back, and we want to talk to you, not your voicemail. So make sure you pick the lineup. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
I do have a question. So a man was dating me last year.
Good.
How often
did you date him? Three times?
No, we dated for about 4 months.
Oh my goodness, were you in a committed relationship?
Yep, we sure were. And
did you have intercourse?
We did.
And you were monogamous, continuous, and your long-term goal was mating or marriage?
Yes.
Which?
Both.
Well, mating leads to marriage. So were you aiming towards marriage, you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Was he?
Yes. He is 50 and I'm 33. But he was
He's at the perianthropause. He's becoming more sensitive. And you're a young person on estrogen.
Yes. Yeah.
So what did you do?
Well, everything was going pretty well, but he had two ex-girlfriends.
Did you want to be cherished or respected?
Cherished.
And was he respectable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then what was the problem?
So, it was during this happened during the first wave of quarantine. So we were quarantining together.
Did you live together? Did you live together in a quarantine?
No, we didn't. I had my apartment and he had his, so we would spend.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Because there are people calling me that are quarantining, and they're using it as an excuse to live together, except what it gives a man is free sex, which turns him off.
Right. No, we didn't live together, and we actually had worked for a year before. So we, he was my boss. So I had worked for him for a year before that.
Okay.
So we established a friendship, and
what happened?
So he had two ex-girlfriends, that were texting him all the time. And
I understand that.
He kept telling me that they were just friends, that he didn't have any feelings for them anymore.
He didn't have sex with them anymore. He didn't have romantic feelings, but they were still bonded to him. And you know what that means if you've heard me before. Young women and older men, 50 plus, older men and younger women produce oxytocin, which bonds them to the people they're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like super glue at the short hair site.
Yes. And I've heard you talk about it before, so I would schedule an appointment to talk with him and use your tools. And
Good.
And he was really, he was great about it and he would listen. But one of the girls has a disease and she's dying. So,
and he wants to help her die.
Yes. And so he didn't want to help her. She had a boyfriend at the time. But
was
she was all
in love with your boyfriend more than her boyfriend?
That's my gut feeling with it. And it was making
it
me
sounds
really
like your boyfriend dumped her.
Yes, because she's also an alcoholic, and he told me that he broke up with her because
then I want you to know, how is he supposed to stop her from calling him?
Well, I was hoping that he would have at least like lay down some boundaries with her.
But he wants to help her die.
Yeah.
You're asking him, remember, they dated, and he may feel responsible for some comforting.
Yeah, and that's what he would explain to me.
So don't you want him to be a lovable person?
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm struggling with, is I don't know how to navigate it.
Are you jealous?
I feel jealous in the sense of I guess I'm nervous. My dad cheated on my mom, and so that's always been like a very triggering. So I feel like
you
more
were traumatized. So basically,
do
you know that you're the second girl that was raised in pain, and it's not helping you live your life?
Yeah.
I think the fact that he dumped her is reality, but the fact that he's comforting her when she calls him, I think is wonderful.
Okay. Okay.
What is she dying of?
She has MS.
Okay, so she's really dying.
Yeah, and she won't stop drinking. And
she's suicidal. She's suicidal.
Yeah, and what made me uncomfortable with it was there were a few times where he would drink with her, and that made me uncomfortable.
Now, is he doing that regularly enough to end your relationship? I mean, he may be having a cup of tea or a cup of wine or whatever. Do we know he's really drinking with her?
No, I think it only happened a couple of times.
By the way, is he 51% valuable? Because there's nobody perfect out there.
I know. Yes, he is 51% valuable.
Then why are you using your dad's polyamorous messing around? Did your mom divorce your dad?
Yeah, they got a divorce.
No, they didn't. She did.
I think my dad wanted to file.
Oh, I see. So they were sick of each other, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Do you know that you sound like you want to divorce your imperfect boyfriend who's helping the lady die?
Okay.
She's probably still in love with him, but she ruined the relationship. So do you want to do the same thing?
No, I don't. And I guess that's what I was calling about, is if I'm being irrational.
You're being selfish. I want you to be self-centered. Selfless is what men do, and it sounds like your guy is selfless, but he's not stupid, and he dumped her.
Okay.
And she's going to have to live another life for 2 or 3 or 10,000 to learn how not to do stupid things like drink.
Right.
But are you willing to learn how to love a human being who loves human beings?
Yeah.
He's not having sex with her, I assume.
No, and I don't get the feeling that, like, my gut feeling is that he's not.
That's good. Your gut feeling is your neurotransmitters. They're molding your brain. But your dad already got in there and made you angry at men and disbelieve them and think that they're all bad and whatever, whatever. I just hear a loving man that had a sick girlfriend that killed herself with booze, and that allowed her body to create MS. Remember, 90% of all illness is based on mental stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess my follow-up question is, so this clearly is an issue with me and not him. So I've gone to therapy to work on this, and I'd love to heal from it.
What do I recommend? Accept, reject, don't tolerate. Your dad is influencing. Would you please write your dad a letter that he may never get, that thank you for the lesson you gave me, because I'm not going to let it ruin this relationship.
Okay.
I accept my imperfect, lovable boyfriend as long as he doesn't screw the MS victim.
Right. Okay.
Your boyfriend told you, I do not have romantic feelings for this woman, but I am merciful towards her when she calls. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Love one another.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Ellen, we've got more calls, really a lot of calls tonight. We're going to have to move on. Thank you, caller.
Make sure you call back.
Okay.
Give us an update.
Good luck.
All righty. So we've got a lot of calls tonight, and we're going to need to click through them a little bit. And so here we go.
You've reached the voicemail box.
No. Callers. We've got to have you answer. All right. So now our switchboard will have to set up to get us another call ready. If you're getting a call from a number you don't recognize,
the voicemail box of 7.
Probably us. All right. We'll see. Maybe 3's the charm.
the voicemail box of 7143.
Okay. So, again, we're hoping that we will get somebody who picks up the phone from our queue. LA Talk Radio's Ronan. Is really wonderful, and he tries to get as many calls passed through to us as he can. But, we need you to answer.
Hello.
So, hi, Pat. We had a little technical difficulty there, but we have you back now, and so we're going to try to get another call.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, sorry. I think I have a bit of an echo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but if your radio is turned up, you'll need to turn it down.
Okay. Okay, thanks. So, Dr. Allen, hi. I called last week and you told me to call back with an outline of a hi-bye letter.
Oh, hello? The outline of it, I can give it to you now. Did you turn radio down?
Turn my radio down?
Yeah, because it's echoing.
Okay, let me see if I can close some windows. Is it better now?
Let's see, say something more.
Okay, I called last week and you asked me to write a hi-bye letter about time, space.
Yes, did you write it? I do not want to hear your letter, but you wanted the structure of the letter?
I know the structure. You asked me to write it and call back.
Yeah, but not on the radio. I don't want to read it on the radio. I want to read it to
you. You can send an email to info@drpatallen.com to book to have that go over that letter with Dr. Allen.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah, because I had some questions about whether to give it in person or.
Oh, I can answer those questions.
Okay. All right. So.
Are you saying something that will make you cry or upset when you read it? How comfortable are you reading it to him?
Oh, read it out loud to him?
Yes.
I could do that. Yeah, I could do that.
Would you rather send him a hi-bye in email form, or do you want to do a face-to-face or not?
I don't mind doing a face-to-face. I guess I broke up with him 2 weeks ago because he didn't know if he wanted a future with me, and he was kind of starting to criticize me all the time, and
So you're terminating?
Well, no, I broke up with him 2 weeks ago. But when I called last week.
So why are you sending him? Why are you sending him a hi-bye letter? Do you want him back?
Well, when I called last week, what I mentioned to you was that, you know, he was really falling in love with me, and then I needed some space. And you mentioned,
why
you told
me
that
space from somebody that's falling in love with you.
Because he wanted to see me like every day and call me.
Oh,
and
I see. You had to set your boundaries.
Yeah.
So
and
this letter is setting the boundaries.
Yes, because apparently I didn't do it in the most clearest way. So he felt rejected. Which wasn't my intention. It was just, I don't know.
I see. So that he dumped you now?
No, after he sort of didn't get, he said he lost the wind from his wings a bit. And then after, you know, some time I noticed he kind of started criticizing me and, you know, stopped kind of pursuing me.
All right,
in a way.
So he started rejecting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you want to write him? You wrote him a letter and you want to read it to me, to him. Then get to me through the way Kelly just gave us. How do you do that, Kelly?
You reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com and you can book a special appointment for the hi-bye letter.
Oh, okay. Yep.
All
okay.
Right.
That's fine. And I'll talk to Dr. Allen about the hi-bye letter?
Yes. Yes.
That's right. You will have it. You'll have a one-on-one appointment with Dr. Allen. You'll be able to read your letter to her, and she'll go over helping you refine it so that it's the most perfect specimen of a letter that you can send to the person you're high buying.
Okay.
The reason I don't want to start listening to high buy letters, that they will take up too much phone time here.
Of course. Yeah. No, I didn't understand well last time, so I'll just message
That's
you.
That's quite all right. Yeah. You're not perfect either, and neither am I.
Thank you, Dr. Allen and Kelly. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Have a great evening, caller. Okay, let's hope we can get some of those callers that we got the voicemail of back. In the meantime, I know we have Ronan working hard at the switchboard getting us calls. We've had lots of calls tonight. Hello, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello, and thank you for taking
Hello.
My call. Yes.
Thank you for calling.
I'm so grateful to be calling. A man has been dating me for the last 4 days. And
okay,
I'm very,
4 days? You dated him every day for 4 days?
Yeah, every day for 4 days we've texted or talked on the phone or had a video chat. Yes.
All right. And are you chemically attracted? Do you like?
I'm very attracted to him. Yes, and it seems he's very attracted. So
great. So what is the question?
He told me he wants me to call and text him and reach out anytime. And
I will if we're in a committed relationship, monogamy, continuity, and long-term goals. When you're in a committed relationship, do you want to be cherished or respected first?
Cherished.
Okay. He needs to be respected. And when he says, you can call me anytime, and you say to him, if we were in a committed relationship, I would do it 2-1. You call me twice, I'll call you once.
Okay, good. Yeah, I didn't know what to say, but I didn't agree to do it. I think I just knocked it off.
But you're not in or committed. You don't do it if you're dating. Dating
right.
is getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Right. I didn't want to call him, but I didn't know what to say when he told me to call him and text him.
He's asking you to call him. So he gets stroked first instead of you. And that's called mommy.
That's what every single guy is always doing with me in this dating world and all my life. So
I understand that, dear, but from now on, if they say you can call me anytime, I will do that as soon as we're in a committed, monogamous, continuous relationship. Are you aiming towards marriage or just mating?
Marriage.
And you're willing to be open to the concept of getting married, maybe?
Monogamy? Yes, I want to get married. Yeah.
Okay. So say thank you for the invitation to call you. I would only do that if we were in a committed relationship.
Okay, I love that. And what if he says why?
So that I know that you're courting me and hopefully we're working towards friendship leading towards marriage.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. I love that so much.
Then please feel free to use it.
Most definitely will if he asks again. And then I have one more question if it's okay.
What's that? Go ahead.
This other guy was dating me, but he would just send a random text once a week, and I just felt turned off by that. So you stopped
dating him.
Yeah, and I turned him down the way you suggest, which is, you know, thank you for these dates, but I don't feel romantic feelings and I don't want to move on. So
and I don't want to use you.
Right. So that's a good thing that I did that, because I just was turned off that he would just text once a week.
But that's the point. You said, if he had said, why aren't you romantic for me? Because I don't get enough cherishing. You only call me once a week.
Oh, my God. I just love everything I'm learning from you so much. Well, that's good. All I've got for now.
This is called courtship. I am a specialist in courtship. Courtship is when you make friends. You don't have intercourse until you're in a committed relationship. And once you're in a committed relationship, if you're the cherishable one, he gives two calls to you and you call him once.
Yes. Good. I'm glad to be clear about that, because I can definitely say that now.
Good. Go for it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Okay, let's see if we get another call going here, Dr. Allen. Again, everybody, if you want to make a private appointment with Dr. Allen, it's completely possible to do over the phone, and you reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email, and that's how you do it. Also, too. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. I have a question.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I have been dating a man for about 3 months, exactly 3 months.
You were dating him?
Well, we were dating each other. We're in a relationship, in a committed relationship.
Wait a minute. But you said you were dating him, which means you were going for getting respected. You were the leader.
Okay, I guess I misspoke, because I definitely have been the feminine and he has been the masculine. I've read your book,
okay,
and I've been following your
system.
Okay,
you wanted to be cherished and you respect him.
Correct.
Is there any trouble there?
The trouble is, it's been 3 months, and he is in the Air Force.
For what? Oh, 3 months dating?
Correct. In a committed relationship for most of that.
Very good. Very good. So what's the problem?
So the problem is, he's been assigned somewhere overseas, leaving in August. He's 30, and I'm 37. And I don't know when it's okay to require the commitment for marriage. I don't know if I can wait, and I don't know when it's okay to insist.
Can you get engaged? Would you stay with him if you were engaged to him?
I would.
For a while,
I don't know
anyway.
If it's too soon to ask for something like that, or how I go about
it. No, dear, no. Has he had intercourse with you?
Yes.
That's the sign that you're in a committed relationship.
Right.
Affection is like foreplay.
And there's been a lot of that.
Where you could, I understand that. But intercourse, as I call it, an act of God, because women used to die of pregnancy, childbirth. So human beings, women, have to be very careful how they use or misuse their sexuality, because you can die of it.
Yes, I've learned that the hard way. I have, which is why I asked him to be my boyfriend before we did that, and he was very willing to do that not long after I asked.
I
we did
love
not have
it.
Sex
I love it.
Until
I love it.
We were in a committed relationship.
But he's going to leave in August, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so that's how many months away from now? Let's see, we're in January. That's half a year.
About 7, about 8, right.
So wouldn't be, have you talked about what to do when he has to go?
He just found out, and I guess I'm sort of trying to be calm and supportive because he's not happy about it, but I'm also secretly wondering, well, what does that mean for us?
What you can say to him is, I am more than willing to wait for you to get out if I were engaged.
Right.
By August, we should know each other pretty well.
Right. So should I wait until the summer to say that I need to be engaged? Or it's like, how soon do I sort of...
You can say it when you bring up the subject of him going, whenever the subject comes up, say, I'm totally comfortable if you and I are getting along of getting engaged, not married, engaged and waiting for you.
Okay. Because I do know you've written that you think you should know someone a year before getting engaged, correct?
No, never have I ever said it. I've had people get engaged on the first date.
Oh, see, I thought your whole thing was you should know someone.
No, legal agreements like marriage licenses.
Oh, until it's been a year. Okay, got it.
You don't even know a person until you know them a year.
Right, which is why I think I thought...
A summer person, the first 3 months in a relationship, everybody's pretending they're perfect.
Correct,
right. The second 3 months, the goofy games start showing up.
Right.
The third 3 months, that's when you negotiate chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do, which says time, space, money, and play, and you do what is a pre-engagement negotiation of what you expect, in your case, in August. And the fourth 3 months is when you are engaged and starting to plan premarital negotiations. Where do we move? Do we buy? Do we sell? Whatever we do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So for right now, he's got a shocking piece of data that says he's going to be living someplace else in August. But women have waited for men in the military for centuries.
Right.
So let him know if you and he are engaged, when he's to leave, you're willing to wait.
Okay. Thank you. That's okay.
Good. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
God.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Engaged is a little long.
Yeah, it is. And then you kind of can run up against that stump of then how much time are you going to waste beyond a certain time? I mean,
well,
you know, like you
said, that's another issue. But right now, she had the wrong piece of Pat Allen.
Yeah. Applied incorrectly. We got that. Okay. Let's see if we've got some more calls coming in. And I'm going to talk to our switchboard and see what we've got going on.
And I want people to remember
my latest... Sorry, I missed your call.
Okay,
leave a message and I'll call you back.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. So we're trying to get a different caller on the line. Callers, can you pick your phones up if you've called us tonight? We'd like to call you back and talk to you. So if you don't recognize a number that's coming in, it's us. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. We have a question. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. He hung up. Okay.
Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, boy. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, everybody. We've got a caller now. Caller, you're on the line with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Okay, everybody.
I think I've got two people on the line.
Hi, caller. We can't really hear you unless we're hearing ourselves reverbing back from your radio. That's the case. Turn your radio down and please talk to us. Hello?
Talking to me?
Yeah, you. We're talking to you. You're live with Dr.
Okay.
Allen. Do you have a question?
Dr. Allen, I definitely miss your in-person lectures. They were so great for being able to meet people. But when I'm out there dating, I have a tough time finding feminine women. What do you think is a good way to do that?
experience them as friends before you make love to them. Date them until you know them. Are you there?
And then, I'm here.
Do you want respect or cherishing priority?
Oh, definitely respect.
Okay.
That's why I'm thinking.
Now, we're having a virus limitation to our dating. Have you found any Zoom groups to meet people on?
Some. I've looked into a couple of meetup things that I was doing.
That's what I mean.
Before the pandemic started.
Okay. But have you got any place where you can communicate and make friendships now?
Not too many, because I'm really quarantining a lot. I'm not even seeing friends right now, so I'd certainly be willing and able to talk to people on the phone, but I think getting together is not something I want to do.
No,
right
I'm
now.
I'm not talking about getting together. I'm talking about Zooms.
Yes. That would be great.
Have you looked into finding some groups?
I get some Zoom, I guess meetup emails that I was
meetup emails.
But I'm certainly looking for other opportunities out there. I know there's a lot going on Zoom, but I'm not exactly sure where to find stuff like that outside of meetup.
Well, investigate where it is, because that's where you can see people and you can talk to them without any virus.
Yeah, definitely. That's good. And Pat, I was wondering, go ahead.
Do you understand that the best love affairs are grounded in the best friendships? So as sad as this miserable virus is, it is teaching us to build friendships before we have sex, intercourse.
Yeah, that's very true. I am talking to one person, but she doesn't live anywhere near here. But I do enjoy talking to her because we have at least one thing in common that's pretty strong. But I don't see her as a romantic possibility. So I don't see it going beyond.
Oh, you mean she can't decide to move wherever you are?
I don't think I'm attracted to her like that, but we've only talked
a couple of times. Her. So what you're doing is duty dating.
I'm enjoying having somebody to talk to, even though
that's
she's far away.
That's duty dating.
Yes, maybe more like that, but geography would definitely be an issue if it ever went to be more than that.
And she is, you know, she would not move to, where are you? What country are you in?
No, I'm close to, I'm in LA. I used to go to your in-person things and she's
in the Well, I don't know where you were. The point of what I'm saying is, why can't you date people that are long distances, and if it works out, they move near you?
I could, but LA is so big and there's so many opportunities that I've done the long distance thing. It's been a while since I've done it, and it never really panned out for me.
Okay, then for what reason are you not willing to Zoom in Los Angeles?
No, I certainly am. I would. I will definitely look into more Zoom if there are things for single people, and definitely check out the thing that I emailed more. But I'm wondering, could you, I remember you used to do this in person, could you do the tools for men?
Yes, I can. Thank you for asking. Are you writing or recording this?
Well, I know it's going to be recorded on your.
Oh, good. Oh, podcast.
I'll be able to listen. I'll be able to listen back.
Here. Oh, I love this. Thank you so much for asking. I'd love more men to call me, but you're here now. There are five tools for men, just like five tools for women. If you're a man and you want to be respected, not every man wants to be respected. Men, particularly in 50s and 60s, would rather be cherished. And women in their 50s and 60s often want to be respected. So I am not ordering people with penises to be respectable, nor vaginas to be cherishable. I want that to be put out there right now. So do you want to be respected or cherished first by your woman?
Respected. Again, that's why I broke up with my last girlfriend.
Okay. The number one first tool is never ask her what she wants, thinks, her opinion, her suggestions, her ideas, unless it's for birthday presents or Christmas presents. Do you understand?
Yes,
you must be with the woman.
This is what I do.
What?
Oh, this one I do. I'm certainly mindful of asking about the feelings, not asking about the wants.
Good. Well, I'm just going over the tools. The second tool is when you want. Please raise your right hand, sir.
Okay.
I promise. On my honor. To cherish the woman I love. Even when. She's illogical. Irrational.
And irritating, yes.
Unless I have to call the police. A medical doctor. Or a lawyer to sue her. So help me God. What do you think about that one, sir?
Oh, that's a good one. Again, I've been on the hot seat before, and I've heard you say all of these, but I definitely needed a refresher.
Okay. The third tool is when she irritates you, but you don't have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer. She just irritates you.
Mm-hmm.
What you say to her is, honey, you have the right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, not do what you said. You have a right to be you. But I think I want you to do it this way, not that way. How do you feel about respecting my request? And what can I do to help you and I feel better?
Yes. Oh, this is the one I really needed to hear, because sometimes I confuse when you're in that interaction with them. So I'm aiming for feel, even though I'm talking about both of our feelings together.
Both feelings, both. That's why I teach women to say to men, what can I do to help us do better? There are four entities in every relationship. There are two men and two women. And they've got to pay attention to how they speak. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being healthy and every loving relationship, especially the sexual ones, is affected. Now, I've ran a couple of things there together. So first tool, never ask her what she thinks unless she's a business partner. Always tell her what you think and ask her how she feels about it. The second one is make an appointment with her when you want to bitch, moan, teach, preach, and question her for her comfort zone. When would it be comfortable for you to listen to what I have to say to you, which is not comfortable for me to say, but I want to say it. So that is the appointment. And then the third tool is she's done something you don't like. Tell her she has a right to do it, but you want it stopped. And how does she feel about respecting you? The fourth tool, 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, rolling eyes, gestures, postures. But you can't negotiate with them. Here's what you say. Honey, I sense by the look on your face that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? I don't want to talk about it. Well, the fact you don't want to talk about it tells me you're upset. What can I do to help you and I feel better now? That's the fourth tool. Now, the last tool is a nonverbal second tool where you make an appointment. Instead of making a verbal appointment, you do a timeout sign like a referee. Do you know that, sir?
Oh, yes.
You make a timeout sign and she says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with something you said or something you did. Are you comfortable listening to what I'm uncomfortable about, and when would it be most comfortable? And that's the fifth tool.
Yes, yes, that's all very good stuff. Thank you.
They are very good. I've used them. They're the basis of my, I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I'm a transactional analyst. And because of that, I use the quantum mechanics of words to impact the quantum physical energy of yin and yang. You, sir, have a yang body, but you have a yin anima soul. I have a woman's body, but I have a masculine soul, the animus. And there's a book written by Carl Jung's wife, Anima Animus. Got that?
I do, yes. I'm going to look at that book. That sounds good.
Good. Okay, well, you've got my tools.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Allen. I'll certainly call back again.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll remind everybody.
Timing. He asked, I love doing the men's tools.
I think it's great because we haven't really gone over the men's tools lately. So I think that was just absolutely perfect timing.
Good.
Pardon me. So we're not going to keep calling back the voicemail people and just keep getting their voicemails. So if they want to try again, that's more than fine. I'll remind everybody of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. And Ronan is really super fair. And he tries to dial everyone back in the queue in the order that the calls came
in. Ordered to an automated voice messaging system.
There you go. We just keep getting that tonight. So we'd like to avoid that. We would really rather not do that. So again, if you're one of the people that left that we got your voicemail, feel free to try to call back again, 323-203-0815. And so, Dr. Allen, interesting that we just had a man. I have a man in our question queue from Facebook that is saying, Dr. Allen, can you describe a high-by letter from the masculine male perspective to a woman that I lost? How would I write it from a masculine in a masculine way?
I'm more than willing to do so.
I love that. He's really listening. He's like, I want to be able to share the way I cherish her in the letter. So I really think this is going to be interesting. I can't wait to hear what you have to say, Dr. Allen.
Okay. So a high-by letter is one where you either inadvertently terminated a relationship that you later realized was more valuable than you realized, or it's the fact that somebody's terminated you and you've waited 8 weeks for them to make peace with you and you.
Okay, we are having a little bit of technical difficulty tonight. We've lost Dr. Allen. We're going to try to get her back.
Reach the voicemail box of 7.
Okay, I'm even getting Dr. Allen's voicemail. This is a weird night. Okay, but what hasn't been weird in the last, well, I don't know, 2 months of 2020? And apparently now the beginning of 2021. So I know that Ronan at the desk is going to try to get us back with Dr. Allen. And then we'll try to get back with you guys as far as calls go.
Reach the voicemail box of 7.
It's not going that well. Okay. So one of the things you can do if you want to know what's going on with Dr. Allen and what we have upcoming is you can go to our website, www.drpatallen.com. And that doctor is going to be drpatallen.com. There you can explore.
Reach
you can
find the voicemail box of 7.
And you can find links to the Want Eye Store, which is where all of our merchandise is. And you can also find a link to sign up for our newsletter. When you do that, you're going to get a letter or an email that asks you to confirm your subscription. Make sure you do that. Otherwise, we can't email you. It's against our policy. And I want to remind everybody, the Want Institute brings us here to be with you each and every week, regardless of any technical difficulties we may be having. And the Want Institute is a 501c3 not for profit corporation, which means your donation.
Hello.
Hi, Dr.
Hello.
Allen. Hi, Dr. Allen.
I don't know what's going on.
You know, it's technology and things are getting really weird out in the world right now with everything that's going on with censorship, with Twitter, Facebook, Parler, Amazon server services. So my understanding is that this has nothing to do with you, but there's a lot of stuff going on the internet world right now that is very odd. So if we get hit with some weird glitches, don't be that surprised.
I want to do the high-bye letter. It's for being dumped or inadvertently dumping somebody you don't want to dump.
All right, so, I'd love it if you'd start at the beginning of that, because we lost you very, very early into your discussion.
Yes, I understand that. I heard it click off. Anyway, it's for situations in which you want to overview the relationship in the first 4 paragraphs and then present a solution. So paragraph 1 is everything you like about the person you're writing to. And in this case, if you're a man and you want to be respected, you've got to cherish the woman's feelings pretty much above your own. That's why I said irritating, illogical, and whatever I said. When a woman acts like a woman, we have a bigger corpus callosum, and we mix our thoughts and feelings. Now, left-handed men and gay men, they have the same big corpus callosum, but right-handed men have a smaller corpus callosum, so they're in either their feeling right lobe or their left lobe, one or the other. But that's the reason that you men get mad at us, because we mix our thoughts and feelings, which is illogical, irrational, and irritating. So tool number one is everything you like about your woman. The second paragraph is the pain of her leaving, the pain of you leaving, whatever it is, either she left or you left, and the situation, the relationship was painful. The third paragraph is what you want for a woman is what she doesn't want. I don't want to lose you. For a man, it's I want us to get back together, or I want you to, yeah, well, that's it. I'm writing this letter because I want you in my life again. The fourth paragraph is I don't want to live without you. You made a mistake when you dumped me, or I made a mistake when I dumped you. The fifth paragraph is, thank you so much for reading this letter to you. I so want you to respond. If you want me back, please say so. Or I want you back, and I'm asking you to join me. So those are the five tools. Don't ask her what she thinks and wants unless it's for Christmas or Hanukkah or something. Ask her what she feels about what you think, what you want, your opinion, your suggestions. The second paragraph for you as a man is basically the pain of the loss. Either you made a mistake and left her, or she made a mistake and left you. The third paragraph is what you want in a relationship. And the fourth paragraph is what you don't want in a relationship. And the fifth paragraph is thank you for reading. And would you please give me an answer? Do you want me back, or I want you back? Give me a yes or a no. Those are the tools. Kelly, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely listening to you. I wasn't sure you were done.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. So really, your hi-bye letter is really your tools almost set in concrete with respect to writing a letter. You use those same tools to write that letter that you do when you're having, when you make an appointment to talk to somebody about something that's uncomfortable. I love that.
The tools are the tools, no matter how you get it. Smoke signals will do it. You know, texting, anything.
Right.
These are for mistaken decisions that you want to rectify. But then the first four overview the relationship, positive and negative. The last one offers a resolution. Come back, or I want you to come, or I'm coming back. Whatever you want or you don't want.
Beautiful. Okay. So interestingly enough, earlier our male caller said he was looking for women that would respect him, but he wasn't sure how to do that. And that seems to be a general theme. We have another male question tonight on the same venue. And his question is, he has looked for Zoom groups. I think he just heard you talking about it. But he's not sure how effective it is to find the right kind of girls with respect to Zoom, because anybody can go into a Zoom group. It's not like if you're going to, he's saying it's not like if you're going to ballroom dancing or something like that.
I've got news for you. What he's looking for is the major, major caregiver for a relationship, which is chemistry. I want to talk about chemistry. People think chemistry is having intercourse. No, intercourse is the result of chemistry. Chemistry mm-hmm. is a natural process of bodies smelling the other person, being within 30 inches of them. And the chemistry is, if you're a man, the woman has a little chemistry like your mom and a little chemistry, not like cellular chemistry, like she doesn't have. If the chemistry with the woman is too much like mom, she's taboo.
Mm-hmm.
If it's totally alien, she's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So chemistry, people can marry for money, they can marry for green cards, they can marry for religion, they can have arranged marriages. But the truth of the matter is, you can only do about 3 years with people you don't have chemistry for. The first year is curiosity. The second year is do it. And the third year are boring. And you're gaining weight and drinking and carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best if you basically don't have intercourse with that person until you know that your chemistry is compatible.
Right.
And that will allow you. People that have chemistry, if they get a divorce for some reason, they will still end up fighting as a way to make negative love to each other. But chemistry is, wow, powerful. And it's the smelling. Now, the reason that I teach not having intercourse with somebody is because once you have intercourse, for example, a man marries when he signs a marriage contract.
Right.
A woman marries when she's young, especially when she has intercourse and allows a man to put his penis in her mouth, anus or vagina, which in the Neanderthal days could lead to death more than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Yeah.
Childbirth and pregnancy without obstetricians and gynecologists is a death-dealing experience.
You see? Oh, it's dangerous even in today. In this day and age, there's complications and risks.
Totally,
can you imagine how bad they
totally affect? Know that. So I don't want people to have intercourse until they know if they're having an overnight screw, whether they're having, you know, I am not a moralist. I'm a therapist. So prostitution is a legitimate way, not necessarily legal, but legitimate way physically to arrange for sex that's going nowhere but sex.
Mm-hmm.
Having
mm-hmm.
sex is not making love. If
Definitely.
You want to mate or marry, your best bet is to make love with somebody. Paraplegics
mm-hmm.
can make love by touching finger to finger.
All right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
There's
I agree.
That sound.
Here is a question. That's a question coming in. And here's the question. I am a lesbian and I've been with my lover for 7 years. Recently,
good.
She has began heavily drinking and has become verbally aggressive to the point of what I consider abuse. I have asked her to leave, and her response has been to tell me I'm a user and that I used her. Now that I want her to leave my home, which I own on my own, I've given her 30 days to find a place to go and asked her to be cordial for the 30-day period. For 5 days of that 30-day period so far, she has done nothing but make horrible and snide comments. What should I do, Dr. Allen?
Well, first of all, there's two forms of gayness.
Mm-hmm.
One is biological.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 8 days when mom is doing the SYR hormone to convert the baby girl. All fetuses are girls for 8 days.
Right.
Until mom's body recognizes the little girl is a boy or the boy right. is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
So I do.
There's normal biological gayness, and then there's broken gayness. And
mm-hmm.
that's from a mother castrating her son of his sense of self-respect
mm-hmm.
by cherishing him, or a father training his daughter to be a man and do it right instead of a girl. A little girl needs to be cherished to become a woman. And a little boy needs to be respected by a mother or a mother figure by the age of 10, or he ends up a fake girl.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, what you've got going there is, in this question you asked, is either I have found when I work with lesbians that the fake lesbians, which means it's not biological,
they broken.
Switch from feminine to masculine
mm-hmm.
because they became gay out of some problem. Usually it's molestation at childhood. Something happened that screwed up her choice of men or women. But that's psychological. And this one sounds like it doesn't sound biological. Biological gay people feel as good as straight people being straight.
Right.
The most homophobic people are fake gays.
Mm-hmm.
She's gay because daddy didn't cherish her or even raped her. And he's gay because mummy didn't respect him, and he's confused physiologically between who does he want to have intercourse with.
Right.
So this whole business, you know, I don't hear many therapists talking about fake gays. But I know that they exist because I deal with them, because they come to me to learn how to desensitize their trauma mm-hmm. so that they are free maybe to be bisexual.
Right.
I have no problem. If you've started being gay, you've got skills at it. Any touching is good. So maybe bisexuality is the result of healed fake gay.
Right. Right. Of course. Of course.
So?
Yeah.
All right.
I think our switchboard is telling me that we have a call. And I'm going to tell him, yes, we'd love a call. How does that sound, Dr. Allen?
What?
I said, our switchboard is telling me we have a call coming.
Yeah, I heard that.
This is Carol. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name.
Oh, ach, Doliva. Okay. So we're getting a message from our our gay person who's saying they are they're happy with your answer.
One woman is being rude to the other woman.
Right.
It may be biochemical.
Yeah.
She may be perimenopausal or menopausal. Menopause is when the estrogen goes down and the progesterone in the system really starts. Grandma's meaner than mom and grandpa's nicer than dad. Because chemistry, what?
I would say that's definitely true.
I didn't hear that.
I think that's exactly true.
Yeah, that is very true. Because midlife crisis is somewhere between 48 and 58. That's when his testosterone is going down and the estrogen that's always been there is starting to impact. I'm going to make a statement now. Men, periandropause or andropause, which is their version of menopause, when men switch from male hormones to female estrogen, they need cherishing more than young men. And if they don't get a woman, hopefully, to cherish them some of the time, they die early.
Yeah.
We women, we become masculine and we're built for old age. We grind the corn and take care of the sick and babysit. More men lose their women to grandkids than anything.
Yeah. We've got a caller on the line, Dr. Allen. You want to take a call?
I sure do.
All right. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, my question is a little, I'm going to try to get through it very as clear as I can. Basically, I have found that I probably have issues with boundaries, and I'm learning how to try to practice them when it comes to a respectable man. My question is so we're supposed to allow them to lead unless they're immoral, unethical, or illegal, or they're doing something immoral, unethical, or illegal. So I guess my question is, in that moment where they are perhaps doing something immoral, unethical, or illegal, is that a moment where we use the tools, or is that the moment where we call the police, the lawyer, or a doctor?
It depends. I had a woman whose man had a father that beat his mother, and once she went over there and he was waking up from a deep sleep and he wasn't quite awake, and he literally started beating on her because that script showed up. So if you're with a man that you think you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer with, just get the heck out of there. Some way, pretend you're going to the bathroom or whatever, and then go call the police, the doctor, the lawyer.
Okay,
don't fight with people that are immoral, unethical, or illegal. Don't fight with them. They're crazy.
Okay, I've actually done exactly what you said, and so I appreciate that answer. My question is, I felt as if I kind of ran away from the issue,
Why not? If it was immoral, unethical, or illegal, he's going to rape you. God,
literally. So let's kind of go to an idea where they. I guess this is probably my issue with boundaries. I make excuses. I probably made excuses for the person. and have with another person, so have ended up in some of these
what
issues.
What I'm hearing is you wanted to get laid and you wanted to blame him for it.
I could say that would be true in one situation.
Okay.
But
all I'm saying is once you start becoming sexually involved, it's just like drinking. It hormonally knocks you out, and you do things you wouldn't do if you were totally aware and awake and sober.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yes.
Going down this question of whether, you know, what to do when they are being immoral and ethical, leave. I guess my last question would just be, do we consider a person that's being immoral, unethical, or illegal, like, less, like, are they no longer 51% valuable? Like, how do we, because I mean, my question is, I guess I'm, could be making excuses for them, but, like, does that mean that they're no longer good person? Like, how does that kind of go? Like,
it depends on what level, whether it's level out of 10, is he doing something 8, 9, and 10? That's big. But if he's just irritating you, that's human. Your instincts know when you're in danger.
Right.
Men know intuitively. Women know instinctively. We tend to honor our neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine in particular. Women need to feel good about what they're doing to do good. I don't care what area it is. So the problem is sometimes we're scripted. A little girl that's molested before her first period, for example, is going to be super, super afraid of sexuality. And one of her solutions, as I said a minute ago, is I'm not going to have sex with a man. I'm going to have sex with a woman. Fine. That's triggered by the trauma. So you have to decide, is it level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Okay.
And that,
so,
do you realize norepinephrine addicts, they think that pain is normal.
Right.
And that pleasure is a lie, a lie. You aren't really as nice as you are. You're just a wuss, sir. You can't imagine a person who's a norepinephrine addict. They will ruin every good thing in their life because they are terrified by pleasure because they know somebody's going to take it away. So what they do is they get rid of it themselves. They insult. They have affairs. They get drunk. They do bad things in order to get their partner to dump them. There's even a book, A Taste for Pain, by Maria Marcos, M-A-R-C-U-S. A Taste for Pain. Oh.
So basically, we can kind of put this unethical, immoral, illegal, those three on a scale for our each and every person. Like, we kind of decide to ourselves what is ethical, what is, you know, is that kind of how that goes.
Abused women put up with horrible experiences because they're habituated to it.
Wow.
They think that's normal. And if you've got a man whose dad beat your mom, guess who's going to beat you?
Right.
That's
Dr. Pat Allen, do you have a way to maybe unscript or kind of settle for yourself what will be your boundaries of, like, immoral and ethical and legal, especially kind of deciding or kind of understanding that maybe your view of what's painful or what your, you know, your meter may be off.
Honey, that's what I do. I do groups of five women that we go over things you want and don't want, time, space, money, play, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do for a living. So if you want, look my website up or whatever. What is that, Kelly, that they should look up to see those?
Well, you can go to oneistore.com to find all of our materials and products. You can go to www.drpatallen.com to sign up for our newsletter.
Ooh, newsletter. Thank you.
I'm available.
Yeah, that'll give you all the information of what we have upcoming, including our special groups that we've been developing. And if you want a private appointment, you can reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email to set that.
Thank you.
You bet.
Did you get your question answered?
Yes, ma'am.
Good.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. Okay, she is probably a prime candidate for the scripting class. The scripting appointment.
Yes. We should tell them it's a 1-hour process. You're sent a script. And if you want to read about scripts, read Claude Steiner's book. He's a transactional analyst like I am.
Yeah.
It's called Scripts People Live. Scripts People Live. But if you want your script done, you make an appointment with me, and we send you the script, and it asks you 20-some questions, and we then read those meanings to you.
Yes, and they're very in-depth questions. And even working through the script paperwork that you get is enlightening. But once Dr. Allen gets a hold of that paper where your answers are on and goes over it with you, I mean, it's like the blinders are taken off the horse. I mean, seriously, it's not only therapeutic, it's cathartic. So I highly recommend it. I have had the opportunity to do my script more than once with Dr. Allen. And wow. Amazing. So, and it was even more amazing because the first book I read of Dr. Allen's about 1.5 million years ago was Conversational Rape. And that was a life-changing experience within itself. So, highly recommend that. Like I said, again, you can go to oneistore.com. You can find all those things. But if you want to sign up for this special script session with Dr. Allen, you need to reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com and set your appointment there to do that. So much fun. Dr. Allen does a lot of private appointments that you may not know about, too. As a matter of fact, Dr. Allen does dreams. So I think we had a dream person earlier today, or it could have been maybe last week, that wanted to talk about their dream. And if you have a dream and you would like to talk to Dr. Allen about what dream you had, you can set an appointment for that. Dr. Allen does couples counseling, which is amazing. Goodness gracious, anything under the sun you want to talk to Dr. Allen about, you can, of course, but she'll go over the tools with you and everything. It's pretty amazing. Of course, we know that because that's why we're here. So, you know, Dr. Allen, real quick, so people who are interested in the dream thing, can you give a little scenario of how you do with setting your Lyman so you remember your dreams? Because we'd really like somebody who's going to do a dream appointment with you to have written down the dream that they've had that they want to go over with you. And how are you able to do do that? How can people do that, Dr. Allen?
Well, first of all, there's a physical aspect to your body. There is 3 minutes when you're waking up and when you're going to sleep that you aren't in your conscious or your unconscious. You blend them. It's called the Lyman, L-I-M-E-N. And I have a student that studied with me, Patricia Eltage, who has a book that will tell you in details the process of dream analysis. And the book is called Dream Class. Now, So here's what you do. Every night, if you want to really connect your conscious mind with your unconscious mind, there's a book by Leonard Mlodinow now called Subliminal, which is nothing more than a word about the word Lyman. Subliminal is the Lyman. And what you do is, before you go to sleep, write down 3 things you intend to look into for fun tomorrow, and 3 things you want to do productively tomorrow. Write it down by hand. I don't know about typing them on computer. I want you to write, because there is an aspect to writing that integrates the body, mind, and spirit. So, and when you start to wake up the next morning, keep your eyes shut until you look at your dream screen. What you see in your dream life, because the reason that you don't think you're dreaming is you open your eyes too fast and you wipe off your screen. So if you can think about keeping your eyes closed when you wake up, you'll be able to see things in your dreams. And if you can, either have your computer or your cell phone or a paper and a pencil, but capture some of the scenes, and then either read Patricia Eltage's book, Dream Screen, Dream Class, or come in and see me.
Great. Make a phone appointment. That's at info@drpatallen.com. And Dr. Allen, what happens in one of your dream sessions? They read you the dream, and then...
Well, here's what the dream is. There's 3 levels to a dream. One is with people in it. That means you're about to learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. What are the people doing? Where are the people at? Are they having fun? Are they fighting? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next level down is nature. You're dreaming of oceans, and you're dreaming of trees burning, and you're dreaming of chickens and whatever. This is the non-human but animal world of nature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the bottom level is things, airplanes, snowballs, riding on a truck. It's what are you doing with things? So people, nature, and things are the level. Usually dreams come in threes. So you may have a dream of things, and then the next night you dream of the things with animals, and then you come up with people in the dream. Everything in a dream is you telling me, the reader, what to tell you.
So is that really like a subconscious process where you start out with things?
Subconscious.
and then you step into the nature, and then you step into the people. And then when you get to that point, if you don't get the message, you really need somebody like you to interpret what the message is. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what I do. That's what Dream Class book is, and that's what I do. So
yeah, it's a beautiful book. Let me ask you this, because this is kind of what I've picked up over the years of working with you and Patricia both on dreams. The more details that you can glean from the dream,
capture.
Yes.
Get into really writing. Help. Speak really on your help. Cell phone.
So
everything tells me something.
Right. I recall when we were first having you and I did a dream session, and one of the questions you asked me was, did you have on shoes or were you barefoot? And
that's right.
The reason you asked me that was so intriguing, and I don't want to say what you said about it, because I don't want to implant anything into anybody's subconscious that might be listening and want to do it, but that was stunning. I don't know if there's a few tips you can say, kind of look out for things like that. Do you have on shoes? Do you not have on shoes? How are you dressed? How are you not? You know, what do you have on? What
everything in it. It's what it takes an hour to do 20 questions in a script. And your dream life tells me, you know, when you have repetitive dreams, they come back and back and back. That means your subconscious is trying to get a message into you, because you're doing something or not doing something that's important to your balance in your life.
I would agree with that. And one of the things is, I'm a lucid dreamer. I often know that I am in the dream state, and I am well aware of what's happening. And I'm well aware of, well, sometimes I can change the outcome. I can't always do it, but sometimes I can. So,
yes, you can. Often.
Sometimes I'm fully aware that I'm dreaming. I want to change the outcome, but I can't. And I'm wondering, Dr. Allen, if that's something inside of me, because I haven't come complete to understanding a resolution in order to be able to.
You're not ready for the answer. And so you're very, remember this, nightmares are awful images, but spiritual messages.
Yes, yes. It's funny too, because I think one of the dreams that you and I discussed, I go to a place in the woods, and both of my grandmothers are there. They never speak, but they're inside of this little cabin together. And I hear them in my mind, but they never say words out loud. And that dream I've had throughout my life, since the first time I remember having it, I was 16 years old, and I'm 56. So I've been having that dream in some variation for years. And it's typically when I'm so troubled that I need them, that is the dream where I typically come to a revelation. And you helped me with one of those dreams before, so I loved that. This has been a fascinating evening, very unusual tonight. I don't know, like you said,
including our difficulty.
Yeah, Mercury, like you said, Mercury in retrograde. Who knows what's happening? We are out of time, Dr. Allen, though. So what do you have to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. We love you, everyone. We will be back next week. Until then, be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.